Chapter 41. Tick-tock goes the clock. Yun Zhen stalked through the forest, his footfalls as quiet as he could make them. He wasn't the best hunter in Hongyao, but he was second place. In first place was his father. His father supplied most of the wild game, fat juicy boars, deer, and bears in winter, the village ate, and he also provided the hides that went to the city. Most of Yun Zhen's game ended up being rabbits and other small creatures, which got him relentlessly teased about how even his hunting habits were fox-like. He honestly didn't mind that much. His eyes were the same as his mother's, and all of the qualities ascribed to him were positive as far as he was concerned. Foxes were devious and cunning. That just meant he was smart. And his traps were excellent. He caught his rabbits and the occasional one of his kin with them, though the foxes were the rarer of the two. He didn't really have to do much stalking at all. That gave him more time to train with his sword, not that he had ever actually had to use it in anger, but it was cool. Sure, it got him put on guard duty or tasked with escorting people, but that just meant he got to travel a bit, and people paid for his food. But today, he was going after larger game, the deer with the giant horns. His own brother had cast doubt on his story. Yun Zhen hadn't lied to him. This week, at least. It was perfectly trustworthy information. At least Jin had believed him. He had told Yun Zhen to be careful, though, before he left. Such a thing might be a spirit beast. Yun Zhen doubted it, though. It was just a big deer, no more, no less. He was hours into the hunt and on a fresh trail. Soon he would find his quarry, and soon he would bring it down. He would have deer with Jin's rice, and it would be delicious. There was a snap as a deer broke a twig. Yun Zhen froze and redoubled his efforts at stealth. He crept forwards, inch by inch, until he saw it. The buck. Its antlers were massive, spreading out like the branches of a tree. It was unaware of his presence. Yun Zhen focused, steadying his breathing, just like Elder Hong and his father had taught him. Deep and measured. His vision sharpened. The world fell away. Just him and his target. He could see every hair on the buck's body, every bit of moisture glistening on its nose. He could count the beats of its heart as its lifeblood pulsed beneath its skin. He pulled back just a little more, drawing to full length, ready to take his prize. There was an ugly cracking sound as his weapon splintered where he was grabbing it. His bow snapped in two. The buck's head shot up at the noise and bolted, fleeing deep into the forest. Yun Zhen gaped.
How the hell did my bow break? I take good care of it, damn it.
He slumped. He had been so close, and it had evaded him.
Stupid worthless bow and stupid worthless lousy luck.
Frustrated, he kicked a large rock and was surprised when the part he kicked cracked, flipping off into the forest. He stared blankly at the chunk. Had it been weakened by the frosts? He shook his head and began his meandering route back home in a foul mood.
A joyous new year to you, Lord Magistrate.
Yes, happy new year, Lord Magistrate.
It's good to see you again, Lady Wu.
A toast to our illustrious leader's health. May his life be long and prosperous.
The Lord Magistrate was in his element. He waved to the crowds, and his wife had a small smile on her face as she greeted the well-wishers, their arms linked together. This was what he lived for. The common folk came up to him, gave him small gifts, poured drinks for him, and toasted to his health. His guards in the barracks shouted his praises for their New Year's bonuses. His clerks spoke in whispers of his foresight over the festivities. He greatly enjoyed listening in when they thought he wasn't around. This truly was the apex of life, to have men sing your praises and kiss the hem of your robe because they wanted to. Because they genuinely admired you. He could have more power and influence in a city. He was certain his administration skills were more than capable of handling 200,000 souls, nay, 500,000. But in those cities, could he walk around without guards, without any kind of escort, secure in the knowledge that none would even think of harming him? That those that would dare would risk the wrath of all their peers for this simple, common-born man who had achieved greatness on his own. Still, he did have some people. In addition to his wife, he had one of his junior guards along to carry the excess gifts he was given. They waved appropriately at the people and were greeted in turn. Yes, this was the life. Their pace was slow and leisurely as they strode through his domain, out of respect for his wife's condition. She had been quite well recently, and he was glad to have her this night. There was a slight tremor in her hand, and he stopped under the guise of watching the bursts of color in the air. The fireworks were marvelous this year. The Lord Magistrate would have to personally pay his compliments to their makers. The New Year festivities were much more exciting than the sun dance. He absently rubbed his thumb across the back of his wife's hand, trying to soothe some of the shakes. Yes, yes, it was tradition, but staying up all night was so boring. The old men of the older families were impressive, especially in how they could continue to dance for so long, but it was absolute hell standing there for nearly 12 hours, ringing the gong occasionally and watching over their performance. He would have to learn how to fall asleep with his eyes open and delegate the gong to someone else. At least his padded mat he had started sneaking to where he had to stand took the worst of the pain off his back. He had stayed up all night enough when he was studying for the civil service exams. He should be able to rest now, damn it. The tremors ceased. None had noticed, just as his lady willed it. They began their walk again. He nodded imperiously at the gaggle of venerable grandmothers as they strode past them, even the one that was absolutely insane and lived in the hovel. The others seemed to like the crazy old woman. They giggled at his passing and made japes about how handsome he was. He just smiled charmingly at the old ladies. They were experts at making tea, and he did enjoy their offers to sit down with them during the colder months. His tour of his town was going splendidly. He graciously rejected the food he didn't like and accepted what he did. He would be calling on every family of interest to check up on them, though mostly to receive their hospitality. He was in a good mood as he wandered into the Juga compound.
Lord Magistrate,
the patriarch of the Juga clan greeted him along with his family. He was one of the old families and his son did good work. Ting Feng was a credit to his clan. And to his office when he brought his wife around. The other men loved to stare. The woman was absolutely stunning. His heart pounded whenever he looked at her. He had nearly asked her to accompany him to his quarters. Only his better judgment prevailed. To break all of his hard-earned reputation for simply a pretty face? Unthinkable. Letting power go to your head was how a not insignificant number of magistrates got lynched. Besides, he doubted the girl would enjoy the kinds of things he and his wife did. Ropes were an acquired taste. So he ignored her as much as he could. He nodded his head and took in the pleasantries. His wife giggled at the appropriate moments and complimented the girl on her pregnancy. Simple, safe topics. A fine visit with the Juga patriarch, once more affirming that he was at the Lord Magistrate's command and that his son would serve however he decided. He was about to leave, but then another voice called out.
Lord Magistrate!
His smile froze on his face at the voice.
It's great to see you, sir. Ah, yes, it is good to see you too,
he managed, his body freezing under the cultivator's grin. Hong Mei Ling stood with him, and the youngest of the Hong family was on his shoulders.
Here, I wanted to give these to you as thanks for everything you do.
The man gave him a sealed box that smelled a bit medicinal and spicy, as well as a bow. The cultivator smiled warmly at his wife, and the Lord Magistrate felt a surge of irritation. His arms managed to move and take the box.
Let us hope this year is as productive as the last, Zhou Jin said, grinning without a care in the world.
The Lord Magistrate nodded his head, but his gut had started to churn again. He felt his wife lift a hand to wave pleasantly at them.
May our relationship continue,
he managed to get out, and the cultivator nodded as Hong Mei Ling started to gush over Yao Mei Hua. His night, well, thankfully it wasn't ruined after the visit from the cultivator. Zhou Jin had given him a gift and then left him alone. Even so, he kept the box on him and only opened it when he was once more safely in his office. He stared blankly at the 7 fragrance jewel herbs. They had come with cooking instructions. He was so confused.
Thank you for your pointers, senior sister,
Li said, bowing respectfully. He was exhausted and sweating, his green hair slick with sweat, and had some light bruises, but was otherwise uninjured.
Footwork is key. Remember this, Sholan instructed him. You live and die by your positioning. Could the next come for instruction? Yes, Senior Sister. This Anjan humbly requests to trade pointers with Senior Sister.
The next disciple entered the ring, bouncing with enthusiasm. They bowed, as was custom, and began their bout. The girl was enthusiastic, but her defense was full of openings. Sholan maneuvered her blade with ease, gently chastising the girl with a swift rap to the forehead. The girl fell back with a cry, nearly hitting the ground, but managed to remain standing.
Aggression and enthusiasm are good, but do not forgo your defense. A more measured approach is necessary. Now, again.
The girl nodded, struck again, and took her lesson to heart. They traded a few more blows, with Sholan looking for things to correct. Feet were smacked into the right position, arms were guided gently, and the girl's blade was struck from her hands when she let her grip loosen.
Adequate for now, but you need more experience. Train diligently, disciple.
Thank you for your pointers, Senior Sister,
the lightly bruised girl panted, bowing in respect. Sholan nodded her head.
This will be all for today, disciples. This year is the Dueling Peak Summit, the tournament for our generation. The best of you will be chosen to come along and observe the proceedings. Continue to polish your technique and cultivate your strength.
Thank you for your instruction, Senior Sister,
the voices shouted, and Sholan departed. She strode swiftly through the compound and managed to reach her room without any more interruption. She entered her room and performed the most important action of the day, eating lunch. She let out a sigh as she was finally alone. Training others was so taxing. She knew why the other teachers had no time for fools. Still, sometimes the clumsy movements of the students did provide valuable insight, and it was good to have the demon-slaying orchid inspiring the disciples to greater heights. She loathed the name, but bore it without flinching, even as the guilt ate at her, even as everybody else forgot those who had died in the search. A great victory, they proclaimed, even as her sleep was disturbed by nightmares. The praises lavished on her had been high. Cultivation materials and more instruction had been spent like water on her. Yet, they had not improved her cultivation nearly as much as a simple meal and a revelation from a master. Her number of blades had grown from 8 in number to 12, but that was her musings on the nature of connections more than the spiritual pills. While the eyes of the elders brought great rewards, it also brought tremendous pressure. She was to win the tournament of the Dueling Peaks, not just bring glory to the sect, as there was middling in power for the Azure Hills, but she was commanded to win it outright. She had even been given a leave of absence so she could go out into the world and train, coinciding with the spring melt. Her honorable father was as good as his word, and the Crimson Demon's tooth was now a plow. Still, she would be taking a roundabout route to Master Jin's farm to try to lose any pursuers. The heavens knew even more men had come out of the woodwork since she had returned. Her suitors were weak, and they were arrogant, completely and utterly unsuitable. Just thinking about it made her bite down a bit harder than necessary. She served herself another bowl of rice. How quickly the bag of rice disappeared. The sect elders had taken their due and left her with half of it, which was frustrating in the extreme. She suppressed her negative emotions. She would soon be able to meet the Hidden Master again, and hopefully her stay would be measured in months rather than mere days. Soon, she would be able to see Master Jin and Senior Sister again. Soon, she would be able to feel at peace again.